Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone.
And there's a reason you enter the zone. You gotta get into the zone. You gotta focus. You gotta be part of the zone. You gotta get like intense with it. You gotta feel it. The whole fishing experience. Yes, it's that time again. Time to, I was gonna say, fish justice in the American way. So, okay. Here he comes to save the day. It's Robert.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know, you got the red long underwear on, you know.
At Long John's?
Wasn't that Polly Purebred?
I'm not sure I've ever met her.
Underdog?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's Underdog. That would be me.
Yep, not bird, not plane, or even frog.
Right.
Just little old me.
Exactly.
Okay. Fishing this week. Fishing Frank here, Robert and Chair across me, and in the guest seat, the hot seat, the one nobody wants to be in, Captain Carl Buttigieg of KB Backcountry Charters. And now, there is a lot going on in the harbor right now. Let's do your top picks of the week. Robert, start off with you. What's your top fish of the week?
Tarpon. Definitely going to be tarpon.
All right. Why do you think tarpon?
Because I've had quite a few phone calls over the weekend and a handful of reports today, and now that the red tide
okay,
is dissipating.
Wait a minute. Did you take your boat out this weekend?
I did.
You did? You went out in the boat?
I even texted you a picture yesterday of us going out.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. I got a phone here somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I got a phone somewhere. I'm going to look.
She texted it to one of your two phones.
Yeah, probably the other one.
One that doesn't receive them.
One that doesn't get text.
Okay.
So, I'll find the other one and look for it. So you went out. What happened?
We just mainly took it out for a boat ride and just went around down the west wall and out through the 20-foot holes and just mainly just feeling the boat out and played a little bit, but mostly just getting a feel for the boat and feeling comfortable.
Okay. So you didn't do any fishing or anything? Just putted around with the boat?
Well, she casted some shrimp, and I put a bait buster out the back of the boat as we drifted around a little bit in the harbor.
I didn't say, I know you had to.
Oh, yeah. You bet. There's no way. But it literally was mainly just a kind of my comfort factor, just trying to go around with it and taking our time. Got it up.
So how do the biminis work?
Awesome.
It's amazing because awesome. None of the young people want bimini tops in their boats. They don't want, you know, all this. They want the boat low and sleek. And it's all great till it hits about July. And then you're like, nah, I think I could do with a little shade out here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because when that boat was originally built, it was built first as a commercial fishing boat and then repurposed as a charter boat before it was repurposed into, you know, recreational boat. But, you know, with the cup holders everywhere and two bimini tops that could be folded together. Yep. And nobody likes them because, oh, you don't want to be in a boat with biminis because it's not cool. Until you're out there and it's 105 degrees in the shade.
Then you are cool.
And then you're the only cool one out there.
Yeah.
With, you know, a 6-foot and an 8-foot bimini up, and then you got plenty of front room deck and all that. I always thought that boat was awesome.
Yeah. No, it was really, really nice. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Speaking of boat rides, Carl's, what is your top of the week?
It had to be tarpon.
Okay.
Tarpon. They're playing pretty good right now.
All right. I'm gonna get back to the minute now. Robert, the big question, the pink elephant in the room with the purple butt. Did you catch anything?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Nothing. Zero. All right. That's all okay right. though. It was literally just...
I just had to ask. I just, you know, I get it. Oh, it's going out to be enjoying. You know, I didn't care if I caught any fish. But
no, I do care if I catch fish. I would prefer to catch fish.
Okay.
I would definitely prefer it, but
it's just about having a nice time.
Well, so. that's part of it. The main thing is it's new to me, so I wanted to just feel comfortable idling around, getting it up on plane a few different times, and feeling the boat out and trying to figure out the waves and how to take it and stuff like
that. With that,
that
thing? You take the waves any way they come. It doesn't care.
I get it, but that's you because you have a lot of experience and knowledge. My experience and knowledge is being out with you and watching you and seeing how you read that stuff. So
this
that's
is
what
the
I want to do.
For really, you haven't had a boat in the last 20-some years.
No. I mean,
so
a John
you've always
boat.
Just been riding around with other people.
Right,
so
exactly.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
It's like being the passenger in a car versus driving the car. I mean, I've been through Turtle Bay 500 times going from Turtle Bay to Bull Bay. If you put a gun to my head right now and ask me to do it, I couldn't.
I get that. All right, well, we're going to go back. Carl, why is Tarpon on the top of your list for this week?
I mean, they've just been cooperating very, very well these past couple weeks. Tarpon bite's phenomenal. It's, you know, whether you're offshore fishing those ones off the beaches or if you're fishing the ones in the harbor, I mean, our tarpon, they're playing pretty good right now.
Well, and the ones off the beaches, too, you know, a lot of people get confused because they associate off the beaches, like, within the first half a mile, maybe a mile at the most off the beach. And what a lot of people don't realize when you're looking for tarpon off the beach, sometimes you're having to run out 7-8 miles.
Yep.
You know, this past week, most of those tarpon were in 40 feet 40. Of water, which is approximately nine miles.
6 to 8 miles.
Depending on where you're at. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and guys were catching them very well on thread fins, pinfish, squirrel fish, bait busters. Were they doing anything on crabs?
A few crabs were working, but there seems to be more fish, like bait busters or thread fins, working a little bit better.
Change their food. You know, that's what they do this time of year. They start to, you know, the beginning of the season, it's all about crab. And then once they do their final spawn, now they're trying to build up some of that energy that they've lost and some of those fat resources that they've lost. So they start to focus on a whole different food item. And obviously they are tarpon, so they're going to eat just about anything they mm-hmm. want or can get in their mouth. But there are certain things that they prefer, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I hardly ever throw crabs up in the harbor.
Right.
It's majority all ladyfish. Thread fins, bait busters, you know, storm, big paddle tails. I hardly ever throw a crab in the harbor, but...
Okay, this brings us up to a pretty good thing. I've got some lures here. And what we decided to do is we were just going to pick two things that we had caught a tarpon with and two things we have never used for tarpon but didn't want to. Right?
Right.
So, I guess we should start off with the stuff we have used. Now, I'm going to go, and my first one, unusual tarpon lure, but actually worked very, very well, and it's the TT-11. It's known as a snook lure, but the TT-11, I have caught tarpon with it. Now, I think the biggest one I've ever caught is probably around 60 pounds or so with it. Bigger ones. It's a mirror lure TT-11, and it's basically the only difference between a TT and a 52 is the TT is called tiny trout, has little spots all the way up and down it. The 11 is a color pattern. It's a red head, white back and belly, silver sides, and this one does have the little black spots all that designates tiny trout. Sinks about a foot and a half between a foot and a half a second in salt water, depending if you're in the Gulf or in the harbor. Harbor drops about a foot and a half a second. In the Gulf, it's a little less than that. But you just drop it in, and it was, you know, everybody always talks about the mirror lure, 17MR mirror lures and all that. This was what us old guys, the lure that old guys use, because it caught as many or more fish than a MR-17, but it didn't look like a white bait. It's more of a minnow shaped. It's just longer. But like the 17, it does no action if you just throw it out and reel it in.
Right.
But you twitch along, boom, twitch, 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 and it's a great snook lure, but if there's tarpon in the area, they beat it up. The only reason I've never landed a big one, like 80, 100, 150 pounds, because I've never been able to hold them on the lure. They've always got off. I've hooked them, but I've never actually got one to the boat, a big one. Right. The biggest one I've ever got right up to the boat was about 60 pounds with the TT-11. So,
and it's a great lure, you know, and it's a multitasking or multi-species lure. And the cool thing about that lure is because it is a sinking lure, you can use it on the flats or out in the open harbor in deeper water or even out in the Gulf if you want to get it down deeper just by counting down. You know, that's one of the cool things about that lure.
It's awesome snook fishing on the beach. One of the best snook lures I've ever used right on the beach. Now, Carl, have you ever thrown a TT?
Nope.
It's before your time.
Yeah, I throw the 17s and the 19s.
Yeah. All right. I just wonder if you'd ever done one of the old guy days. You know, take a trip down
sure
nostalgia,
they were.
You know. What do they call it? You know, be retro. You know?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
retro.
That way you could be retro. You know, I think that's the word for, you know, using the old guy stuff. Robert?
I've used it. I've never caught much on it.
Okay. What's your number one tarpon lure? What's one you've caught tarpon on?
Bait Buster. And I just grabbed one. I didn't really care about color. Because, I mean, there's like five primary colors that I prefer to use, but they all work so well that one's not necessarily better than another personally.
And that's one you used this weekend when you didn't catch anything?
Correct.
Okay, just clearing up the air here, folks. You know, sometimes there gets to be a bit of a funk in the room. I want to make sure everything's nice and rosy and clear. So, yeah, I'll go with you. The Bait Buster is probably, arguably, the number one tarpon lure to ever come out. Nothing even comes really close to it.
Works all over the whole state. I mean, guys use them all the way up in Jacksonville, all the way down the whole East Coast. The
but they work for a lot of different species. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, yeah. That's another
Redfish,
one of those.
Snook. I mean, they work for a lot of different fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're pretty amazing. You know, and the out of all the artificials that I've thrown for tarpon, it's the land ratio is higher, too.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you get the hookups, you get the fish to the boat higher than the other
ones. Yeah, compared to one that I'll mention for my second best.
Okay.
You know, the Storm Swim Bait. The Storm Wildlife Swim Bait.
Let's not go to second best. We're still on the DOA here. Let's focus. This is actually a professionally done show here. For those of you who are not sure about that, look, right next to your radio, you will see the stamp mark of professionalism. All right. It's on the bottom right of your radio.
One cool thing about the Bait Buster that I like to do, too, is I'll put it under a bobber out the back of the boat. That's like my biggest...
How far below bobber?
3 to 6 feet.
Okay.
And just let it sit stationary. I don't care if it's windy out or not windy out. Just it sitting there by itself does the job.
Carl, are you a Bait Buster person? Did you grab one of those?
Yep, I got one.
All right. Now, Robert's been talking about, what's your deal with the Bait Buster?
The thing about the Bait Buster is it's just, you could work it so many different ways. I mean, you could troll it behind the boat if you like. You could cast it and reel it in very slow. You could reel it in fast. You could put it under a float. There's a lot of very, you know, good ways to work it.
You can jig it.
Yep.
All right.
Hopping along.
Let's break this down a little bit better. Robert, your number one way to use a Bait Buster?
My number one? Be under a bobber.
Okay. Under the bobber.
Yep.
Carl, your number one favorite way to get tarpon on a Bait Buster?
You know, when I'm seeing them roll, I like to cast out in front of them and I reel it in real slow. Very, very slow.
No jigging, no jerking, just real slow retrieve.
Very slow retrieve.
Now, I've used the Bait Buster and caught a lot of tarpon with it. Now, I've usually done big lift up, slow drop, real slow, crank, big lift up, drop the rod tip. And when I say lift up, I mean take my rod tip and go from about 9 o'clock all the way up to 12 o'clock, then bring my rod tip back to about 10 o'clock. And then the whole time I'm just slowly reeling. When I feel it come back in contact, I pick it up and let it drop again. Now, you guys use that technique?
Yeah, works very well.
Every now and then I do. When I'm noticing that the fish are sitting more on the bottom of the water column, yes.
Because I like to let it go down and let it hit the bottom. And when it's sitting on the bottom, I pop it up and then slowly start to reel, keeping it as low in the water as I can actually get it.
Right. And that works unbelievably well for me. That's probably my second way to use it. My third way to use it is Carl's way of just casting and just a very slow retrieve. I'll occasionally twitch it, but usually just a slow retrieve. But my favorite way is kind of basically bouncing it along.
It's just weird because it's a dumb looking piece of plastic. It's got two little reverse curl flippers on it, and you look at it, it's $5. It's not, you know, $20 or $30, it's $5. And it's the dumbest looking thing you've ever saw, the DOA Baitbuster. I mean, this is not, it goes back to the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
Because it just so basic, I think that's why it works.
And the hook's strong, you know, it holds up to them pretty good too.
Yeah, the hook is unbelievably strong on that trolling model. You know, it's pretty impressive.
Now they do come in a floating model, which I don't care for at all. And then they have another kind of in-between one, and then the trolling version. The trolling version is usually the only one we have on the wall, because otherwise people get confused, and then they don't like the lure because it doesn't perform, it doesn't cast.
Right.
But the trolling version, I think, is 5/8 of an ounce, and you can really zing it out there nice with even 50-pound test on a rod. It travels good.
Yeah. There is one little flaw to it that some people complain about, is that the jig head that's inside, molded inside of it, will sometimes pull out of the body and the body will slide up the line. But honestly, the best thing I found for that is just a little drop of super glue right there around the eyelet and the body and let it hold on, and you won't have that problem anymore.
The best thing I found about it, it's $5. Get over yourself. Buy another one.
No, I get it.
I mean, it's like, my God, you've cast and cast and cast. You wear it out, and it's still not good enough. I thought I was cheap. Oh, my God.
I'll be throwing bait busters tomorrow.
Really?
Yep.
Now, staying in the vein here, you've been on any tarpon trips recently?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Doing a lot of. Still doing a lot of tarpon trips. Doing very, very well. I've been fishing in the harbor.
Now, what's upper harbor, lower harbor, mix and matching, Myakka piece?
Mix and match. I've been down by Two Pines on certain tides, and then I've been up off, like, you know, by the Myakka, the mouth of the Myakka.
So you're really all over the harbor.
Yeah. It's just on the tide. They're at one spot, and they're following the tide out, and then they're following the tide back in. So as soon as that tide switches, if you're up by the Myakka, you have to start. You'll literally follow them all the way out, and once they stop, that's when you start fishing them. But I've been fishing them a lot of bait busters, a lot of thread fins, and a lot of ladyfish. Usually everything's under a float right now, about 5 feet underneath the float.
So they're not really hugging the bottom, but they're definitely not up by the top.
No, they're not. No. They're rolling a little bit, but not super heavy. And they are spooky. If you got a bunch of boats in an area,
yes,
your best bet is to get way up in front of those guys and have your baits out, you know, baits already out in the water, because those fish are actually sounding and going underneath a lot of those clusters of fishermen and then popping up 100, 200, 300 yards away.
What I like is when I was out there, I'd be sitting there in the tarpon world rolling, and then they would move and all the boats run over there by them, and I just tell everybody, sit real still and stay right here, because as soon as all the boats get on top of them over there, they always come right back.
Yeah,
it saves you the aggravation of going over there and have waiting for them to come back.
See, like, the best thing that I've been doing right now, it's been working excellent, is I'll have either a bait buster under a float behind the back of the boat, or a live thread fin at the back of the boat in rod holders while I'm trolling motoring around very, very slow on a trolling motor, like a 1-speed or a 2-speed. And I have two people at the front with live thread fins, just hold them in the water, and as soon as they see them roll, throw them over with a bait buster or a thread fin, and that's working the best.
So sight casting the rolls with a live thread fin is the best way to go.
And then you're also, right, you're picking them up behind the back of the boat, the ones that you're not seeing, with those two baits and a rod holders too.
Okay. Now, how far out do you keep your baits?
One's about 50 yards back, and the other one's about 100 yards back.
So you got them quite a ways back.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go on. Let's pick a lure, and I'm gonna go for. I haven't used it, but it was a huge seller a couple years ago, and I want to try it this year. It's a subsurface walk the dog lure from Rapala.
Yeah, and that's a pretty impressive lure.
This subwalk, you work it just like a Zaraspook. It's bigger. It imitates like a ladyfish in the water. That was the hottest thing for tarpon about three years ago and 2 years ago. I mean, we were sold out constantly. The guys would come in. Nobody said a word about it. And finally, somebody said, man, I got a charter tomorrow. I need one of those. What are you doing? A tarpon? Really? And, I mean, the walls were empty of them. Now, yeah. We're back restocked. But it works just like a Zaraspook, where you slash the front back and forth. You give it heavy twitching action. Or you can slow it down and just kind of slap it like you would a MR-17. But that thing is really just... It caught so many tarpon, and I did not get a chance to go out and throw it yet. And I really want to. It's been 2 years that I've known this is a great tarpon lure. First year we sold out. I thought, wow, I wonder what they're getting with these things. Nobody's talking. And the second year we found out it was tarpon. So, but that was 2 years ago. Nobody's buying them this year.
Not yet.
So as they start keying in on the ladyfish and the thread fins, this thing starts to sell good. And this is the time of year where they fly off the shelf, really. One guy will start getting it, they'll start hitting it, and then they start losing them, and next thing you know, you got a bunch of them. But I'm going to take the treble off the back of this, because it does have a rear treble, and I'm just going to put a single hook. Flatten the barbs on the front hook, put a big single hook, the VMC single hook on there, and I want to try it with that. Now, that's one I haven't used, want to use. I know it works. Supposedly an awesome lure, and judging from the sheer numbers we sold, it's got to be a great lure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Robert, what's your pick for second choice? Your second pick that you've never caught a tarpon, but you want to?
Let's see, where's it at? I got it buried here. It's going to be a topwater popper. It's this particular one is made by Halco, but I'm going to use a topwater popper, whether it's Halco or...
All right, wait a minute. Sorry.
Williamson makes a really good... Okay. Popper, that new popper from Williamson, I'd really
the
like to try that one.
The one we just got in?
Yeah, I'd really like to try that one, because that one looks just interesting enough, has a little different look to it that might be fun, and I like the size of it.
That Williamson popper, we got the big, giant ones, and then we've got one about that size. That one's probably looks about 5-6 inches long.
Yeah.
Now, why did you pick the popper?
Because when they go into a ladyfish feed... There's times where they're crushing stuff right on the surface, and I've had a few friends that have done pretty good success over the last 10 years throwing them on occasion, and there's nothing more fun than catching a fish on a topwater period, let alone, you know, an 80 to 150 pound fish. I think it'd just be awesome, because, I mean, I've watched them come up and crush ladyfish on the surface and catfish on the surface when they're in those schools of glass minnows, and I want to do that with a popper.
Okay.
The only difference is, like, you're going to switch out your hook. I'm going to switch my hook out, but I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to do it basically my version of your original version of putting on a single hook. I'm going to do the Gamagatsu assist hooks.
Yeah, now we've got those in Williamson now. I don't know if you've seen them, because I just got them in.
And show them to me the other day.
Yeah, they're a little longer things. I think this Gamagatsu might be a little better for what you're doing because of the shorter one.
Right.
But it's for those Williamson...
butterfly jigs.
Yeah, the butterfly jigs. And we have a single hook and a double hook version of it.
Nice.
And I think that Williamson, something you might want to look at. But I just got them in. I don't even have them priced and put on the wall yet.
Yeah.
But so, we've always carried those Gamagatsus because those were the great butterfly jig hooks, and they work great on the back of a lure.
Right. And I'm just, for some reason for me, I'm a little bit more confident with that hook hanging just a little bit further off of the lure than I am with the typical inline hooks. Even though I've caught snook on the smaller inline hooks on lures, just something about it I just seem to have a little bit more confidence in.
Okay, Carl, your pick. One you have not caught a tarpon with, but you really want to.
It might be an oddball thing, but...
It's you, Carl. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. That was a statement that didn't even need to be stated. This was, okay, it might be oddball, and it's Captain Carl picking it. All right, go ahead.
I don't think that's oddball at all.
A big silver spoon.
All right, but now that's not just any spoon. That's the big
this is
Clark.
The biggest one I can find.
Yeah, but that's the Clark spoon. And that is one of the all-time... If I'm going to go trolling anywhere in the world, I want Clark spoons with me. Those Clark spoons have caught fish since the first day I started working at the store. I've used them ever since. I don't think there's anything in the world you can't catch on a Clark spoon of one size or another. Right. So I think it's an awesome choice. Think about casting or trolling.
Both. just because, like, I mean, it kind of resembles a big thread fin or a small ladyfish, depends on how big the spoon is. But, I mean, you could blind cast them at fish, or you could also troll these, too.
All right, now, we'll tell you one thing about the Clark spoon. You know those water-fillable casting bubbles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've used them on all kinds of stuff. It's the only way to cast a Clark spoon. Mm-hmm. They have no metal in them. It's literally just a stamped piece of tin, and it's shiny, it's amazing, it catches a lot of fish. But there's no weight to it.
No, they're a real bugger to cast.
Now, if you were throwing that on very light line, I'd say you could cast it. Trolling it, I'm 100% in your corner. Although sometimes with the Clark spoons, I actually add weights to it. I put a Clark spoon there and I put a swivel in front of it. Then I'll drop either half ounce, ounce, 2 ounce sinkers in front of it just to get it down in the water a little more. A lot of lift because when they stamp that, it's kind of a diamond shape and it's cupped so that it really grabs the water, gives some tremendous lift, a lot of good sound, bright and flashy. Man, I'm 100% on your side with that spoon. That's an awesome one.
I agree. I agree, and I've had customers over the years that have been out there trolling for Spanish mackerel in the harbor and have hooked big tarpon on them, and I've had other customers over the years that have been offshore looking for some of those, you know, kings and hooked tarpon in the fall.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite king mackerel spoons. It really is.
I think you're right on there with it being a pretty darn productive lure.
And the reason why I grabbed that one is because it's got the big single hook on the back.
Yeah, and it's an awesome spoon. I think it was a tremendous choice. And even though you didn't really know it, but we've had customers catching them on those. And so, really good choice. I'm going to go to one that I caught a tarpon on, but not really. This is... Kind of, but not really. I don't know if this actually qualifies. No, I got the tarpon up. It's a DOA cal shad. And I had quarter ounce jig head on it. It was actually the little short DOA one. I like using it because it's real short shanked, and I think it's the perfect placement for those cow shads. And I started actually using the DOA jig head when I was still using the Bass Assassin tail before I switched over to the cow shads. But I'm reeling it in. Catching ladyfish. I got a ladyfish on the end of the line. It's jumping around. It makes a jump and boom, I got a tarpon on. I actually land the tarpon. I would say about 50 pounds. Nice fish. It was awesome. I'm reeling in probably, I would say, about a 1 pound ladyfish. And then the next thing you know, I've got this tarpon on. It's about 4.5 foot long. And it's jumping, going ballistic. Luckily, it was right after braid came out. And I had 20 or 30 pound braid on at that point. And I was able to land the fish and just had a great time with it. So I'm not really sure if the DOA cow shad qualifies.
I do know another captain that uses those for tarpon a lot.
Almost exclusively.
Yep. Mike.
Yeah.
Mike Myers. He loves them. He throws them a lot for tarpon. He catches them.
Yeah.
I see him do it all the time.
it's amazing, but they actually work.
Yeah.
Now, he's using a heavier jig head than I am.
Not much.
Yeah, not very much.
Not much. He throws the DOA jig head a lot. He throws that 3/8 ounce in it.
Yeah,
it's one of his more favorite. Yeah. But you know,
I you guys gonna give this to me because I did catch a tarpon on it. I did land the tarpon, but it was actually a ladyfish. I was catching ladyfish for bait for tarpon.
Yeah,
and
I'll still give it to you.
Yeah, we'll give you that one.
It's very very realistic.
You know, I was thinking about it. I said, you know, yeah, I could do that, but I wasn't really sure that I could qualify with that.
Nope. I'll go with that one without a doubt.
Yeah. I was just trying to think of something that had happened that probably, you know, kind of sort of fucked. Anyway, Robert, you're up for your second pick of something that you actually did catch a tarpon on.
that I did catch tarpon on.
Yes.
Storm Wild Eyes swim bait.
Okay.
That's my second go-to, never leave to go tarpon fishing without it kind of thing. And it's the 5-inch, I guess.
Right.
I love them. I like them a lot. The drawback to them is that I'll hook the same amount of tarpon on those as I will a bait buster, but I'll land twice as many on the bait buster. And my only theory on it is because it is weighted so much heavier in the nose, they're able to throw it easier.
Gotcha.
But castability of it, amazing. Mm-hmm. Putting it out under a bobber, amazing. I mean, it works so darn well.
All right, how do you make your choice then? You got the DOA bait busters up there, and they're $5 a piece, and this is $5 for like three of them.
Uh-huh.
But how do you make the decision, okay, I'm going to use a bait buster or a storm?
Honestly, because the bait buster is kind of my go-to for casting a lot of, like, rolling fish, that I'll usually put the storm under the bobber out the back of the boat, and then the bait buster is going to be up in my hand to cast. Unless it's windy. If there's a lot of wind, I'm going to reverse the rolls because I can cast that storm bait further because it is heavier.
Opinions, Carl?
Nope. I do the same exact thing.
So you guys are on the same page with that one.
I was going to, yeah, that was my number two, but then I seen that Robert had it. I mean, we grabbed the same color and everything.
What color did you guys get?
The bunker.
Yeah, the gold, the brown gold one.
Yeah.
Okay. But now that I seen him do that one, I'm going to change mine to a hoagie. A big, okay, long hoagie.
So this is your pick for one that you have caught a tarpon on.
Yep.
So you've caught tarpon on this thing. With the hoagie, you got any colors you like? White?
I like the all white. That's all my white. Favorite. Yep. Mm-hmm. That pearl white color.
How do you rig it up?
Robert's actually the one that showed me how to do it. He uses those real long shank.
Those ballyhoo hooks by owner.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know, that real long shank one.
Yep.
And, you know, go through the body and come out the side of the bait, and it really makes it get a lot of action in the water, casting or trolling.
Instead of coming out the top with the hook, you come out the side of the bait. Morris Campbell actually showed it to me years ago when he was throwing that bass tricks or whatever. He was having good success with it that way, so I started doing it with the hoagies, the zooms, and any of those swim baits, basically just trying to get it to swim a little bit more erratic.
I will tell you, that's one of the things that I did with people, that I spent a lot of time teaching them how to rig these baits correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I try to remember to tell them, now once you know, now you've got this down, you know how it's supposed to be done. Now your challenge is figuring out, how do you mess that up to make it catch more fish?
Right.
Do you put the hook in a little too far and let the nose curl up? Do you run it short? Do you just put a little bit of hook in the bait? Do you, you know, rig it sideways, upside down? You know, how does it, what it makes it yours to catch more fish with?
Right.
And that's one of the things that I really try to look for, is how do you rig it wrong to make it better?
Well, and especially with soft plastics, because you have so many different avenues to go with that. You know, you can rig it up with a jig head, a regular worm hook, a wide gap worm hook, or just a plain old short shank bait hook, and make all those actions completely different. And then by customizing it, hybridizing it, whatever you want to call it, make it completely your own with each individual hook and make it totally different. Which is, I mean, that's probably one of the greatest things about soft plastics in general, is the versatility of not having to always follow the same mold as what they suggest.
Okay.
I use a lot of J-hooks with soft plastics.
Yeah.
A lot.
Alright.
Hook them right through the nose and get them to swim totally different, or use one of those hitchhikers and make yourself like basically a funky customized banjo minnow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I actually
those lures worked.
You know, it was funny. That was a made for TV lure, but the way they rigged it was awesome.
Yeah.
And the lure itself was nothing special, but the way you rigged it to get that banjo so minnow style action out of it, oof, it was actually unbelievable, and it really worked, and it was great.
I used them a lot when I was young.
Yep. The banjo minnow was one of those. The other one that actually worked was the flying lure. Yeah. You could actually get it under docks. It was just a little flat plastic jig with a weird head on it. But it was, it would dart down. You could pop it up and dart it down, and it caught a lot of fish.
I caught a lot of bass as a kid on those things out in Arizona.
It's surprising. Well. Those were the two kind of made-for-TV lures that actually worked. Did good. And I became very good friends with Alex Langer, the inventor of the flying lure. I never met the people from Banjo Minnow. But, you just don't think of that. Okay, Carl, I think you're up, right? Did you just do the one that you had?
Yeah.
This is the one.
Hoagies.
Yeah,
hoagies.
Did the hoagie.
Okay, then it's back to me. All right. Now, this is one that I have not used on tarpon. I really want to, and we've talked about it a little bit on and off. I'm actually going to open this, Carl, so you can see it, because I know you haven't looked at it, because neither Robert or I had. Now, what I've got here is the Sabeel. It's the Magic Swimmer, the center size one, the, let's see, the 190. And with this 190, look in the back and see the corkscrew kind of attachment on it. Picture what that would be like with this gulp eel off the back of it. That's what, a 7-inch lure?
Yeah.
All right, and then picture putting this gulp eel on the on that little screw hitchhiker, you know, thing on the back of it. That with a gulp eel on it.
Gosh, that would probably work.
What do you?
I think it'd work absolutely amazing.
I wouldn't mind throwing that for Kobe either, like that.
And it's got a double hook on the back, yeah. Not a treble. The double hook, I would just flatten the barbs in the front treble hook, just so if they wanted me, I wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right.
But. And I think this color is awesome. It's got a beautiful black and chrome color finish. Nice packaging on
it. Well,
and
plus it's jointed too, so you even get more action out of it. So, I mean, you got just the action of the lure by itself, but then you add that trailer on it. Now you've got all sorts of who knows what kind of action is going to come out of that. I think it's going to be pretty impressive.
Did you leave it that long, that trailer that long?
I don't know if I'd cut that eel in half or if I'm. I would try it full length first and see what happened, and then if I was having problems I'd probably start cutting it down a bit.
They'll eat a 20 inch ladyfish, so why not?
You know, I was just thinking it would be a combination of a whole lure and maybe the chasing a two, you know, one mm-hmm. thing after another,
right?
Like an eel chasing a fish. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it wants to, you know, a lick or a kiss or something.
It's a lamprey. It's trying to grab a hold of it.
Yeah, something. I don't know what it is, but I got thinking about that, and I said, you know,
never seen that.
I don't think you could troll it. I don't think there would be enough action on it to troll it, but I'd be willing to give it a shot, but I think it's going to be a casting plug.
Yeah, I've never seen that little screw on the back of them.
Yeah.
No, I had never noticed it either.
Wow.
I started talking about a month ago, and I haven't been able to get out to do it, and I'm just looking at this going, you know, you could put the gulp curl tail behind it, like one of those mullet with the curl tail on mm-hmm. it. The eel, there's so many things that would just, and that's just screaming tarpon. But just a hard bait like that, I don't know how much I'd have confidence in it, but with a trailer on it. So anyway, interesting.
I like that. Never seen that before.
It's a completely different, completely different look and feel, I'm sure.
I know, it's big in the striper market up in the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they sell a ton of them. They use trailers on it to get the big stripers. You're talking 40-inch striper with that.
Right.
Oh, so yeah.
Tarpon eat that.
You know, no, I have no doubt that the tarpon will eat it. Heartbeat.
All right, Robert. You are up with one that you have caught tarpon on.
No, that I haven't caught tarpon on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you're right, that we have not caught, because I have not caught a tarpon on that. That's a, all right.
Good, because I was going to,
yeah.
I grabbed the wrong stuff.
Well, I thought it was Carl's turn before and everything else.
It's all good.
You know.
I grabbed the hoagie flounder. I'm very curious to know if this would work. I mean, because tarpon eat so many different things off the bottom, middle of the water column, top of the water column. And
we've got the hog chokers here that look exactly like that.
Exactly. You know, and especially this time of year, a lot of those hog chokers and whiffs is another name for them, get flushed down because they're fairly brackish type flounder.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, a flounder has a cousin that's a bait fish size. I don't think it ever gets more than 6 or 8 inches long. Most of the ones I see are between 3 and 4 inches, 3 and 5 inches.
Right.
But they're identical to a flounder. They look like a baby flounder, but it's actually a subspecies.
Yeah, it's a full-blown adult at 4 inches.
Yeah. Wow. It's not, you know, you go out and I've caught them in cast nets. When I was working the shrimp boats, we get a lot of them on the shrimp boats. It's a very common bait fish that you never see because it just hugs on the bottom.
Right.
But they're everywhere. And right. Charlotte Harbor's full of them.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
Well, there's two different kinds. There's one that's more the rounded like the flounder, and then there's the other one that's more elongated, more arrowhead shaped. And both of them are totally unique and, you know, in their own right. But we have, like you said, a lot of them. So I think it would be really...
Yeah, really those little flounder, baby flounder.
I find them in redfish stomachs all the time.
And I know snook eat them too. And it would just, you know, knowing the habits of tarpon with them being, you know, basically like a big snook being a scavenger / predator the whole nine yards, I could see them taking one of these real lethargic like. And what I would probably rig it up would be the
DOA
wide gap worm hook. You know, and it's got the screw in little hitchhiker on the front to screw into the nose of the bait.
Now, but when people see that, I believe what they're going to think is this hook's way too big. The problem with it is you've got a lot of plastic there. So you got to put the hook through the plastic, get it rigged up, and then have enough hook so when the fish bites down, you have some hook left for the fish.
Absolutely.
So when you think you're using a big enough hook, go a little bigger when it's soft plastics and a weedless hook. You need a bigger hook than you think you do. Because I always go with the guys that are showing me the hooks, and they say, well, look, there's literally no hook left when you get through that plastic.
Right.
So I don't know if you can do too big a hook, but especially on that flounder, I think you're right on the money with that great big worm hook.
Good, because I was going to ask your opinion about it, because I wasn't 100% sure, but I felt pretty confident in my guess.
What do you think, Carl?
No, I think it's 100% great. You know, because that's actually a pretty thick piece of plastic, like in the middle of where that hook's going to be going. And if you don't have a big enough gap, it'll never get into the fish.
You'll get a lot of hits, but it'll be PETA fishing. All the fun of fishing without harming the fish.
A lot of setting hook and nothing there.
Yeah.
Or launching them in the air once.
Yeah,
you get to watch them jump. Now, that might be something for me. Maybe I'll try it out with a small hook on it so that I love watching them jump. I just don't want to fight them anymore. Last time I was out, I hooked a fish, and I lifted that rod way up. I had the rod way up on my shoulder, the rod tip up in the air, and all of a sudden, all that rod and everything went right down to the length of my arms, as low as it could get them. And I'm looking at, Robert, here's your fish, buddy. Here you go. And he gets all excited, takes the fish, and goes. And it's awesome, because Robert loves doing that. I like the hookups. I like the jumps. But after that, could you go away? I got to get a thing where I push the button and the hook straightens out.
Right. No, and that is part of the fun of it. I mean,
watching the old guys cringe as they have to hold this rod that they can't get up in the air you can't get it up. You just can't get it up. There's nothing else. You can't lift it.
I'm not talking about that. But no, it's just that the magnificent part about tarpon fishing is the jumps. I mean, it's
what
so
I like is we went all the way to magnificent.
They are.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was just induced by my colorful wordplay.
It was. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Magnificent.
You know, to watch those fish jumping for me, you know, to watch them jump and then also to hear those gills rake as they shake their heads so hard, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's no other word to describe it, you know, or no real words to describe it in its full without experiencing at least once, because... even if they don't clear the water with their entire body, which is normal, when they come up and just shake that head, I mean, so, they shake their head so violently that their gills literally clap together, but so hard that they actually burst the capillaries inside their gills, and it's not unusual for tarpon to be bleeding a little bit out of their gills. And that's just literally from shaking their head so hard. It's kind of like the equivalent of us, you know, going.
It's like every date I had in high school.
Well, it's like when you're when
no!
the pressure changes in a plane and stuff, and some people burst a vessel inside their eyeball or something like that. It's basically the same thing. It's not life threatening or anything like that.
Burst in their eyeball? You're gonna bring this up?
Right.
I'm sitting here going along. I've enjoyed the show, and then eyeball bursting.
No,
thanks, Robert. Talk about
inside
downer.
No, okay. But it's really cool because that
hey, Carl,
noise,
you want to burst an eyeball?
I'm good with that one.
The noise that it makes just can't be faked. You know, it's kind of like the distinct sound of a snook popping, or the distinct sound of a mullet jumping. I mean, we can all distinguish that. You can close your eyes, and when a tarpon comes up and shakes his head, you can visualize it and feel the magnificence of that head shake. It's just, it's awesome. Okay. I don't care if he's 20 pounds or 120. It's awesome.
There ain't nothing like that.
No, Carl, you guide people all the time. Mm-hmm. You're out on tarpon trips. Right now, what are you doing, like 4 or 5 a week?
Yep.
All right. What is the lure you want to use but you have not caught a tarpon with?
Topwater.
Ah, you went with Robert's thing too.
Yeah, but I'd take off all the treble hooks and put single hooks on.
Okay.
Just for safety
reasons. Now, you grabbed the Ozuri. Was that just because you didn't see the Halco or one of the other ones?
I didn't know about the other ones. I have used this one before, you know, for snook.
Okay,
and
you guys talk a minute. I'll be right there.
You know, I've used it for other species, and it works great for other species, but I've never thrown it for a tarpon.
Yeah, I mean, I know a guy years ago that used to go out with Robert Moore, and that was one of his favorite things to throw. He would throw those, and he would throw the original peacock bass, like the wood choppers, which were some of them had props, and some of them just had the actual pop, concave face, like a typical popper topwater lure. You know, and these things have gained such big popularity with the offshore guys throwing them for AJs and Barracudas.
Right.
That it's just a very fluid transition to jump it over to this.
All right. In your hand is the new Williamson popper. And you've got the Ozuri there. Robert's got a Halco here.
I like this one.
What's the
purpose of the holes here?
Smoker bait. Allows you to get a little bit more bubble trails out of it.
Yeah, it'll catch the air as it goes through there and pops that water through and can create little tiny fine bubbles.
Yeah, cause a little bit of cavitation and stuff, especially when you're offshore.
I like how that looks, that reflective inside and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's heavy, so you should be able to cast it like a mile.
I was just wondering what you thought of that compared to the Halco and the Ozuri. You know, I bought them. I thought they were cool, so.
I like it. It has little rattles inside it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I did all right? You think they're going to sell?
I'm going to try them.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah, I definitely want to get out and try it, too.
It looks really good, though.
Maybe next week we'll have to all get out and go tarpon fishing with him one day. If he's got an opening and go try this.
We got ICAST this week. And
those things look very good, actually.
So I'm actually really curious to find out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. If it's going to be a great lure or a dud, you know, you just never know when you buy a series of lures.
Absolutely.
I think it's very interesting. I'm pretty sure this.
And plus, that one's
good.
Got that weird bubble on its tail that I'm kind of curious to know how that works. In addition to those holes for the smoker part of it, how it's going to work. I'm real curious to see how
it's got that little knob.
How hard of a splash it's going to produce in front of it, or how subtle it's going to be. Is it going to zigzag when you're working it at the same time as popping? Because every topwater popper is just a hair different with how they work.
Yeah.
Some of them just slurp forward and just pop. Some of them slurp forward and pop really hard, pushing water 2-3 feet in front of them. You know, I'm real curious to see how that one's going to work out.
Yeah, and
And plus, that one's being introduced at ICAST, so we actually got it before it's even
technically right.
Available.
Yeah, these guys, you're not supposed to know about that lure. So holds up 200 pounds on it. So anyway, but at least you got to see it.
200 pound swivel on
there. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says it's got a 200 pound built in, so it holds 200 pounds.
Yeah, I think they actually designed that with a giant trevally and dogtooth tuna in mind for over in the Pacific.
So, anyway, something cool. We got a couple other new ones from Williamson, some new Rappler coming in, and some other stuff. It's going to be a big year for change because we're going to be deleting some of the lure series. We've got two or three brands that just haven't done well. So we're going to be boxing those up, putting them away, waiting for the sale so we can, you know, we'll blow those out cheap. But, that's the one thing this year at ICAST is we've got to come up with some new lures. A couple of new brands, a couple of new models. You know, I'm looking for probably at least two or three new series of lures.
Right.
And I don't know if it's one we used to carry that we might, you know, rethink about bringing back because everything old is new again.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
It's got more glitter in it this time.
Right.
No, I think it'll be really interesting to see what we can find and hopefully hit a home run with a few, and some of them will be duds, but it'll be worth a try. It's fun.
Yeah, we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars over the years on lures that just never sold. And some of them that really caught fish, and they just wouldn't catch customers.
No.
And we've had a couple other ones we thought, wow, these are really going to catch fish, and we spent thousands of dollars and they just didn't catch anything ever.
Yeah.
My worst one was before you started working here was Killer Baits. It was literally my favorite looking lure in the water, and when you reeled it in, a beautiful action, and I probably spent 12 years trying to catch a fish with that thing. I carried him in my box to the Tortugas, to Europe, to all over the place, to Central America. Kept throwing him. One day I was over by Hog Island. I had a great day with it. I every time I threw it, I caught a fish. I mean, it was just amazing. I finally had that day I always knew I would have with it, and I threw him away.
Oh.
I said, I'm never using this damn thing again. It was like literally years had gone by of me throwing that damn lure everywhere and dragging it to different continents, you know. I knew this thing was going to catch fish. When it finally did, I tossed it into the shed. I have no idea what happened to it.
That's funny.
Yeah. I said, I'm never, ever, ever, ever throwing that damn thing again.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I did what I set out to do. And they were out of business long before I ever caught fish with it. So,
but still, all right. Cool.
We got a couple minutes here. Name me your three top best fish this week, Robert.
Well, tarpon would be number one. Number two would be just offshore fishing, anywhere from 3 to 25 miles out. Unbelievable right now. Spanish mackerel, permit are starting to move back in on the nearshore reefs. AJs are out there, the grouper bite, the snapper bite, grunts, porgies.
Carl, give me your best bet.
Tarpon, redfish, and then offshore.
Okay.
I went out the other day offshore just playing. You know, me and a buddy, we actually ran 40 miles out. We had a phenomenal day. We caught 30-inch red grouper, one after another, big mangroves. There was bonita everywhere. Offshore is doing real good right now.
Yeah. About the only thing I can think of in the harbor is some pompano over on the east side. We've got...
There's a lot of redfish in the harbor.
Really?
Yes. A lot of redfish in the harbor. East wall, west wall, Monica Cutoff. Turtle Bay and Bull Bay are slapped full of snook. There's a lot of snook on every single shoreline around Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Sandfly, Kaopalu. Our harbor's doing very well. Our fish are... They're eating.
Cool.
They're hungry again.
Well, boys and girls, I guess that's about it. We kind of went a little more on the tarpon, but this is the time of year. This is tarpon fishing.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah, take advantage because the tarpon are really, really hot right now. And you got a charter coming up that you don't know about. My son's coming down in September. You're going to be taking us out shark fishing, Carl.
All right.
So,
there's some good sharks out there right now, too.
Fishing Frank here, Robert in the chair, and Captain Carl in the guest spot. Give me your phone number quick, Carl. We got just enough time.
941-565-7325.
Well, boys, we will see you on the next radio fishing show type thing, whatever this is, next week. Bye.
It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, setting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.